A similar statement was given by Kunti Devi to Akrura. Quote, "My dear brother Akrura, my nephew Mukunda is long absent from us. Will you kindly tell him that his aunt Kunti is sitting among the enemy and would like to know when she will be able to see his lotus face again?" Unquote. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 46th chapter, verse 28, there is this statement, quote, "When Uddhava was present at Vrindavan and was narrating the activities of Krishna in Dwarka, Mother Yashoda, while hearing this narration, began to pour milk from her breasts and shed tears from her eyes." Unquote. Another incident demonstrating Yashoda's extreme love for Krishna occurred when Krishna went to Mathura, the kingdom of Kamsa. In separation from Krishna, Mother Yashoda was looking at Krishna's makeup utensils and she fell down on the ground, almost unconscious, with a great sound. When she was rolling over on the ground, there were many scratches on her body, and in that piteous condition, she began to cry, "Oh, my dear son, my dear son," and she slapped her breasts with her two hands. This activity of Mother Yashoda is explained by expert devotees as ecstatic love in separation. Sometimes there are many other symptoms, such as great anxiety, lamentation, frustration, being stunned, humility, restlessness, madness, and illusion. As far as Mother Yashoda's anxieties are concerned, when Krishna was out of the house in the pasturing ground, a devotee once told her, quote, "Yashoda, I think your movements have been slackened, and I see that you are full of anxieties. Your two eyes appear to be without any movement, and I feel in your breathing a kind of warmth, which is bringing your breast milk to the boiling point. All these conditions prove that out of separation from your son, you have a severe headache." Unquote. These are some of the symptoms of Mother Yashoda's anxiety for Krishna. When Akrura was present in Vrindavan and was narrating the activities of Krishna in Dwarka, Mother Yashoda was informed that Krishna had married so many queens and was very busy there in his householder affairs. Hearing this, Mother Yashoda lamented how unfortunate she was that she could not get her son married just after he passed his Kaishura age, and that she therefore could not receive both her son and daughter-in-law at her home. She exclaimed, quote, "My dear Akrura, you are simply throwing thunderbolts on my head," unquote. These are signs of lamentation on the part of Mother Yashoda in separation from Krishna. Similarly, Mother Yashoda felt frustration when she thought, quote, "Although I have millions of cows, the milk of these cows could not satisfy Krishna. Therefore, let a curse be on this milk. And I also am condemned, because although I am so opulent in material prosperity, I am now unable to smell the head of my child and feed him with my breast milk as I used to do when he was here in Vrindavan." Unquote. This is a sign of frustration on the part of Mother Yashoda in separation from Krishna. One friend of Krishna's addressed him thus, quote, "My dear lotus-eyed one, when you are living in Gokul, you are always bearing a stick in your hand. That stick is now lying idle in the house of Mother Yashoda, and whenever she sees it, she becomes motionless, just like the stick." Unquote. this is a sign of becoming stunned in separation from Krishna. In separation from Krishna, Mother Yashoda became so humble that she prayed to the creator of the universe, Lord Brahma, with tears in her eyes, quote, "My dear creator, won't you kindly bring my dear son Krishna back to me so that I can see him at least for a moment?" Unquote. Sometimes in restlessness, like a mad woman, Mother Yashoda used to accuse Nanda Maharaj, quote, "What are you doing in the palace, you shameless man? Why do people call you the king of Raja? It is very astonishing that while being separated from your dear son Krishna, you are still living within Vrindavan as a hard-hearted father." Unquote. Someone informed Krishna about the madness of Mother Yashoda in the following words, quote, "In madness, Mother Yashoda has addressed the Kadamba trees and inquired from them, 'Where is my son?' Similarly, she has addressed the birds and the drones and inquired from them whether Krishna has passed before them, and she has inquired if they can say anything about you. In this way, Mother Yashoda, in illusion, was asking everybody about you, and she has been wandering all over Vrindavan." Unquote. This is madness in separation from Krishna. When Nanda Maharaj was accused by Mother Yashoda of being hard-hearted, he replied, quote, "My dear Yashoda, why are you becoming so agitated? Kindly look more carefully. Just see, your son Krishna is standing before you. Don't become a madwoman like this. Please keep my home peaceful." Unquote. And Krishna was informed by some friend that his father Nanda was also in illusion in this way, in separation from him. When all the wives of Vasudeva were present in the arena of Kamsa, they saw the most pleasing bodily features of Krishna. And immediately, out of parental affection, milk began to flow from their breasts, and the lower parts of their saris became wet. This symptom of ecstatic love is an example of the result of fulfillment of desire. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th chapter, verse 29, it is stated, quote, "When Krishna entered Dwarka after finishing the battle of Kurukshetra, he first of all saw his mother and all his different stepmothers and offered his respectful obeisances unto their feet. The mothers immediately took Krishna upon their laps, and because of their parental affection, there was milk flowing out of their breasts. So their breast milk, mixed with the water of tears, became the first offering to Krishna." Unquote. This is one of the examples of being satisfied after a great separation. There is a similar statement in the Lalita Madhava, quote, "How wonderful it is that Yashoda, the wife of King Nanda, out of her parental affection for Krishna, mixed her tears and the milk from her breasts, and thus bathed her dear son Krishna." Unquote. In Vidugdha Madhava, a devotee addresses Lord Krishna as follows, quote, "My dear Mukunda, just after seeing your face, which was full with the scent of the lotus flower, Mother Yashoda, being attracted by the moonlight of your face, became so overjoyed in her affection that immediately from the nipples of her water pot-like breasts, milk began to flow." Unquote. She was thus constantly engaged in supplying milk to Krishna after wetting the covering cloth over the jug. These are some of the signs of parental love for Krishna by his mother, his father, and elderly persons. Symptoms of ecstatic love in parental affection are expressed when Krishna is accepted as the son. These constant transcendental emotions for Krishna are called steady ecstasy in parental love. Srila Rupa Goswami states herein that according to some learned scholars, the three kinds of transcendental mellow so far described, namely servitude, fraternity, and parental affection, are sometimes mixed. For example, the fraternal feelings of Balaram are mixed with servitude and parental affection. Similarly, King Yudhishthira's attraction for Krishna is also mixed with parental affection and servitude. Similarly, the transcendental mellow of Ugrasena, Krishna's grandfather, is mixed with servitude and parental affection. The affection of all the elderly gopis in Vrindavan is a mixture of parental love, servitude, and fraternity. The affection of the sons of Madri, Nakul and Sahadeva, as well as the affection of the sage Narad, is a mixture of friendship and servitude. The affection of Lord Shiva, Garuda, and Uddhava is a mixture of servitude and fraternity. And now, Chapter 44, Devotional Service in Conjugal Love. A pure devotee's attraction to Krishna in conjugal love is called devotional service in conjugal love. Although such conjugal feelings are not at all material, there is some similarity between the spiritual love and material activities. Therefore, persons who are interested only in material activities are unable to understand this spiritual conjugal love, and these devotional reciprocations appear very mysterious to them. Rupa Goswami therefore describes conjugal love very briefly. The impetuses of conjugal love are Krishna and his very dear consorts, such as Radharani and her immediate associates. Lord Krishna has no rival. No one is equal to him, and no one is greater than him. His beauty is also without any rival, and because he excels all others in the pastimes of conjugal love, he is the original object of all conjugal love. In the Gita Govinda by Jayadev Goswami, one gopi tells her friend, quote, "Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure within this universe. His body is as soft as the lotus flower. And his free behavior with the gopis, which appears exactly like a young boy's attraction to a young girl, is a subject matter of transcendental conjugal love." Unquote. A pure devotee follows in the footsteps of the gopis and worships the gopis as follows. Quote, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances to all the young cowherd girls whose bodily features are so attractive. Simply by their beautiful attractive features, they are worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna." Unquote. Out of all the young gopis, Srimati Radharani is the most prominent. The beauty of Srimati Radharani is described as follows, quote, "Her eyes defeat the attractive features of the eyes of the Chakori bird. When one sees the face of Radharani, he immediately hates the beauty of the moon. Her bodily complexion defeats the beauty of gold. Thus, let us all look upon the transcendental beauty of Srimati Radharani." Unquote. Krishna's attraction for Radharani is described by Krishna himself thus, quote, when I create some joking phrases in order to enjoy the beauty of Radharani, Radharani hears these joking words with great attention. But by her bodily features and counter words, she neglects me. And I even possess unlimited pleasure by her neglect of me, for she becomes so beautiful that she increases my pleasure 100 times. Unquote. A similar statement can be found in Gita Govinda, wherein it is said that when the enemy of Kamsa, Sri Krishna, embraces Srimati Radharani, he immediately becomes entangled in a loving condition and gives up the company of all other gopis. In the Padyavali of Rupa Goswami, it is stated that when the gopis hear the sound of Krishna's flute, they immediately forget all rebukes offered by the elderly members of their families. They forget their defamation and the harsh behavior of their husbands. Their only thought is to go out in search of Krishna. When the gopis meet Krishna, the display of their exchanging glances, as well as their joking and laughing behavior, is called anubhava, or sub-ecstasy in conjugal love. In the Lalita Madhava, Rupa Goswami explains that the movements of Krishna's eyebrows are just like the Yamuna, and that the smiling of Radharani is just like the moonshine. When the Yamuna and the moonshine come in contact on the bank of the river, the water tastes just like nectar, and drinking it gives great satisfaction. It is as cooling as piles of snow. Similarly, in the Padyavali, one constant companion of Radharani says, quote, "My dear moon-faced Radharani, your whole body appears very content, yet there are signs of tears in your eyes. Your speech is faltering, and your chest is also heaving. By all these signs, I can understand that you must have heard the blowing of Krishna's flute, and as a result of this, your heart is now melting." Unquote. In the same Padyavali, there is the following description, which is taken as a sign of frustration in conjugal love. Srimati Radharani said, quote, "Dear Mr. Cupid, please do not excite me by throwing your arrows at my body. Dear Mr. Air, please do not arouse me with the fragrance of flowers. I am now bereft of Krishna's loving attitude, and so, under the circumstances, what is the use of my sustaining this useless body? There is no need for such a body by any living entity." Unquote. This is a sign of frustration in ecstatic love for Krishna. Similarly, in Dana Keli Komudi, Srimati Radharani, pointing to Krishna, says, quote, "This clever boy of the forest has the beauty of a bluish lotus flower, and he can attract all the young girls of the universe. Now, after giving me a taste of his transcendental body, he has enthused me, and it is more than I can tolerate. I am now feeling like a female elephant who has been enthused by a male elephant." Unquote. This is an instance of jubilation in ecstatic love with Krishna. The steady ecstasy of conjugal love is the original cause of bodily enjoyment. In the Padyavali, this original cause of union is described when Radharani tells one of her constant companions, quote, "My dear friend, who is this boy whose eyelids, dancing constantly, have increased the beauty of his face and attracted my desire for conjugal love? His ears are decorated with buds of ashok flowers, and he has dressed himself in yellow robes. By the sound of his flute, this boy has already made me impatient." Unquote. The conjugal love of Radha Krishna is never disturbed by any personal consideration. The undisturbed nature of the conjugal love between Radha and Krishna is described thus, quote, "Just a little distance away from Krishna was Mother Yashoda, and Krishna was surrounded by all of his friends. In front of his eyes was Chandravali, and at the same time, on a chunk of stone in front of the entrance to Vraja, stood the demon known as Vrishasura. But even in such circumstances, when Krishna saw Radharani standing just behind a bush of many creepers, immediately his beautiful eyebrows moved just like lightning toward her. Unquote. Another instance is described as follows, quote, on one side of the courtyard, the dead body of Shankasura was lying, surrounded by many jackals. On another side were many learned Brahmins who were all self-controlled. They were offering nice prayers, which were as soothing as the cool breeze in summer. In front of Krishna, Lord Baladev was standing, causing a cooling effect. But even amid all these different circumstances of soothing and disturbing effects, the lotus flower of ecstatic conjugal love that Krishna felt for Radharani could not wither. Unquote. This love of Krishna for Radharani is often compared to a blooming lotus. The only difference is that Krishna's love remains ever increasingly beautiful. Conjugal love is divided into two portions, vipralamba, or conjugal love in separation, and sambhoga, or conjugal love in direct contact. Vipralamba, separation, has three subdivisions known as purvaraga, or preliminary attraction, mana, or seeming anger, and pravasa, or separation by distance. When the lover and the beloved have a distinct feeling of not meeting each other, that stage is called purva raga, or preliminary attraction. In Padyavali, Radharani told her companion, quote, my dear friend, I was just going to the bank of the Yamuna, and all of a sudden, a very nice boy whose complexion is like a dark blue cloud became visible in front of my eyes. He glanced over me in a way that I cannot describe. But since this has occurred, I am sorry that I can no longer engage my mind in the duties of my household affairs. Unquote. This is an instance of preliminary attraction for Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 53rd chapter, verse 2, Krishna told the messenger Brahman who came from Rukmini, quote, my dear Brahman, just like Rukmini, I cannot sleep at night, and my mind is always fixed on her. I know that her brother Rukmi is against me, and that due to his persuasion, my marriage with her has been cancelled. Unquote. This is another instance of preliminary attraction. As far as mana or anger is concerned, there is the following incident described in Gita Govinda. Quote, when Srimati Radharani saw Krishna enjoying himself in the company of several other gopis, she became a little jealous because her special prestige was being dimmed. Therefore, she immediately left the scene and took shelter in a nice flower bush where the black drones were humming. Then, hiding herself behind the creepers, she began to express her sorrow to one of her consorts. Unquote. This is an instance of a seeming disagreement. An example of pravasa, or being out of contact because of living in a distant place, is given in the Padyavali as follows. Quote, since the auspicious day when Krishna left for Mathura, Srimati Radharani has been pressing her head on one of her hands and constantly shedding tears. Her face is always wet now, and therefore there is no chance of her sleeping even for a moment. Unquote. When the face becomes wet, the sleeping tendency is immediately removed. So when Radharani was always weeping for Krishna because of his separation, there was no chance of her getting any sleep for herself. In the Prahlad Samhita, Uddhava says, quote, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, pain-stricken due to being pierced by the arrows of Cupid, is always thinking of you, the gopis, and he is not even accepting his regular lunch, nor is he getting any proper rest," unquote. When the lover and beloved come together and enjoy one another by direct contact, this stage is called Sambhoga. There is a statement in Padyavali as follows, quote, "Krishna embraced Srimati Radharani in such an expert manner that he appeared to be celebrating the dancing ceremony of the peacocks," unquote. Sri Rupa Goswami thus ends the fifth wave of his ocean of the nectar of devotion. He offers his respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared as Gopal, the eternal form of the Lord. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta summary study of the third division of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in the matter of the five primary relationships with Krishna. And now part 4, chapter 45, Laughing Ecstasy. Lokanam hitakaranam tribhuvane mannam saranyakaranam. In the fourth division of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami has described seven kinds of indirect ecstasies of devotional service, known as laughing, astonishment, chivalry, compassion, anger, dread, and ghastliness. In this portion, Srila Rupa Goswami further describes these ecstasies of devotional feelings, some being compatible and others incompatible with one another. When one kind of ecstatic devotional service overlaps with another in a conflicting way, this state of affairs is called rasabhasa, or a perverted presentation of mellows. Expert learned scholars say that laughing is generally found among youngsters or in the combination of old persons and young children. This ecstatic loving laughing is sometimes also found in persons who are very grave by nature. Once an old mendicant approached the door of Mother Yashoda's house, and Krishna told Yashoda, quote, "My dear mother, I don't wish to go near this skinny villain. If I go there, he might put me within his begging bag and take me away from you," unquote. In this way, the wonderful child, Krishna, began to look at his mother, while the mendicant, who was standing in the door, tried to hide his smiling face, although he could not do so. He immediately expressed his smiling. In this instance, Krishna himself is the object of laughing affairs. Once, one of Krishna's friends informed him, quote, "My dear Krishna, if you will open your mouth, then I shall give you one nice sugar candy mixed with yogurt," unquote. Krishna immediately opened his mouth, but instead of giving him sugar candy with yogurt, the friend dropped a flower in his mouth. After tasting this flower, Krishna turned his mouth in a disfigured way, and upon seeing this, all his friends standing there began to laugh very loudly. Once a palmist came to the house of Nanda Maharaj, and Nanda Maharaj asked him, quote, "My dear sage, will you kindly check the hand of my child Krishna? Tell me how many years he will live, and whether he will become the master of thousands of cows," unquote. Upon hearing this, the palmist began to smile, and Nanda Maharaj asked him, quote, "My dear sir, why are you laughing, and why are you covering your face?"